Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Most of you know, in the next two Sundays, Mary Jo and I will be away, and we will be in Seattle, Washington, and I'll be preaching in the church there on those two Lord's Days. And the church there has asked me to give my testimony next Sunday in the Sunday school hour that they have before the morning worship. And so I thought that what I would do this morning is give my testimony here to you. And I've been here for 25 years almost, and I have never given my testimony in this church. So that's what we'll do in this time together. So we know from the Bible that God ordains our days before there is yet one of them, and He marks out every event in His sovereignty and in His providence to us in our lives. And He knows the time, the way, the method of His of our conversion to bring us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So my testimony is how the Lord brought me to know the Savior. And I was born in Madison, Wisconsin. My father was going to college there at the time. When I was about 1 year old, we moved to Burlington, Vermont, and my father went to school there in Burlington. Then about 5 years old, I moved to Albany, New York, where I grew up, until I moved to Rochester in my mid-20s. My parents were non-Christians. I did not grow up in a Christian home, and my parents really in the home, maybe a little bit of superficial Christianity. I remember I had a Bible when I was a young boy, and I would read it in the home. And my parents brought us to a liberal Presbyterian church in Albany, and I don't remember much about it, but that church is a very liberal church. I do remember two things. I remember the Sunday school teacher that I had at that Presbyterian church. I remember two things about that Sunday school teacher. One, she didn't have a right hand. She had a stump. I don't know why, but she would bring in cookies to the kids on Sunday school. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, and you know how kids are. I couldn't get out of my mind, how did she do the dough with the stump? And I did not want to eat the cookies because I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. And I think I forced myself to eat the cookies. The other thing I remember about that Sunday school teacher is that she taught us the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, she made us learn the Ten Commandments, memorize them. And those Ten Commandments stuck with me the rest of my days, till I became a Christian, and now, of course, as well. When I was 10 years old, my parents stopped going to church. When I was 13 years old, my parents separated. My father left home. When I was 16, my parents divorced. It was a very bad time in my life. Very dark. Very distressing. I fell into the bad friends, many sins, many troubles through those years. Sin developed, grew worse, and I became hardened in a life of sin. My mother had to support the family because my father gave no support to the family. And for a long period of time, we didn't know where he was. And I remember back on those days all the trouble that I caused for my mother. At 18, I joined the Navy. I spent 4 years on an aircraft carrier. I was very hard against God. Wanted nothing to do with Him. I remember I had a couple of Christian friends on the ship who would witness to me and give me something to read. One of them gave me a Bible. I still have the Bible at home. But I wanted nothing to do with Christianity when I was in the Navy. And so all through those years, sin became worse. Sin grew in my life in many ways. And those Ten Commandments, I remembered them from when I was a kid. I could never get rid of the thoughts of those Ten Commandments. They troubled me. They accused me. They condemned me. I could not shake them. I remember fighting with them. I remember trying to justify myself, trying to work my way around my guilty conscience, trying to say that I was not as bad as I really was. And it was distress at times to think about those commandments. So then after the Navy, I went to college over in Troy, New York, to study engineering. And then I ended up getting a job here in Rochester to work at Kodak for an internship. And so I was out here working at Kodak. I rented a room from a guy that they put us in contact with. He rented me a room in his house. He was a sinner. I was a sinner. We loved our sins. And I remember we would sit around and he would talk about his sister who had become a Christian and how she believed that every molecule was controlled by God. And we would sit at the kitchen table and laugh about the whole thing and how God, these people believe these things about God, that he controls everything. So then it was a Sunday afternoon, and in a most unusual way, I knew that on that day, God was dealing with me, and I could not avoid it. The Ten Commandments were in my mind. I was guilty. My conscience was against me, and I knew it was a rainy, dark Sunday afternoon, and I had a little Volkswagen Beetle. And I went out in that Beetle, driving around town. I can remember driving down Titus Avenue. I can remember driving down to Seabreeze. I can remember driving around in the rain, and I knew God was dealing with me, and I couldn't avoid this now. And I knew I had to get right with God. So I had to find God. And I didn't know where to go to find God. So I can remember driving down Ridge 104, and I saw those steeples on that Greek Orthodox church over there. You can see it from 104. And I said, I'll go over there. Maybe God, I'll find God in that Greek Orthodox church. I went to the doors, raining, and I couldn't get in. It was locked. So then I drove down Flower City to the Roman Catholic Church, Sacred Heart over there, the big Roman Catholic church. So I walked in. The doors were open. I said, maybe I can find God. So I went in there. No one was there. It was empty. The whole building was empty. I sat in a pew and wept over myself. I didn't know what to do. So then I remembered that I knew a friend who was a Roman Catholic. And I said, I will go to the friend and ask for a Bible. So now I turned to Exodus chapter 20 because these were the commandments that I learned as a young boy. So I went to this friend that afternoon, knocked on her door, and I said, do you have a Bible? Can you give me a Bible? So she gave me a Bible. And I went home to my room. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know where to start turning. So I opened up the Bible, and I found the letter of 1 John. And I started reading 1 John. So we'll turn to 1 John. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. Now I started in chapter 1 and I started reading through this little book of First John. But when I came to chapter 2 and verse 15, now it was like the lights began to come on in my mind. And John said this, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, and the lusts of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever." And when I read these verses, the Holy Spirit, now I understand what happened. I didn't at the time, but the Holy Spirit came to me in reading these words and began to open up my eyes to the truth of the Bible. And when I read verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. That was a description of my life. And it was as if God spoke to me from heaven these words. And I was convinced when I read them that the Bible is true. This is God's word. This is truth from heaven. And God is telling me my life is wrong. It wasn't a terrible thought to me, but it was more the truth. This is the truth. And I need to start reading the Bible. This was on a Sunday night. I went home and read these words. Next morning, Monday morning, I went to work at Kodak. I brought my Bible. The Bible my friend gave me. I put it under my arm. I went to work the next day. And every day at work at Kodak, I would read the Bible. Because I realized that the Bible's true. And I need to start reading. And every day I'd be reading the Bible. And I think the people at work thought maybe something was wrong with me, I'm sure, because I began to read the Bible every day at work and they were wondering what's going on with John over there. But from that point, now I knew the Bible was true. Then what happened was I went back to college, back over in Troy, New York, and I went through this about a 10-month period of time where I was in this struggle back and forth between the Bible and the world and the Bible and sin. And I would read the Bible, but I knew the Bible was true, but I was still living in many ways in my ways of sin. And I would go back and forth between the two. And I went through this 10-month struggle like that. And then I ran into a Christian guy on the campus, and he invited me to a retreat. The Christians on the campus there, they were going away for a weekend retreat. So I went with them on the retreat. And then on the Sunday morning, they were singing a hymn. And the words of the hymn, or the refrain of the hymn, was from Psalm 51 and verse 10. And we can turn to that passage, Psalm 51. And verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10, where it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." So those were the words of the hymn, the refrain of the hymn that they sung in their service on Sunday morning. Those words came to me with a most powerful conviction. And what I was convinced of is that I did not have a clean heart. And I needed a clean heart above everything else. But my heart was filthy. And my heart was vile. And I remember sitting there as they were singing the hymn, and it was like the words were arrows in my heart. I began to realize I had to get out of the room where I was. So I said to my friend next to me, I said, "I need to leave." And I went out, and I went into another room in the building where we were, and there were some other students with me. I don't know, 3-4 others that were there. And I was just overcome with how wicked and how evil my heart was. And it was as if God had taken the mask, the cover off my heart, and there was just pure vileness that was within me. And it was the most terrifying thing that I could ever, it was the most terrifying experience of my life. I began to tremble. I lost all physical strength in my body. I fell down on the ground. And I can remember gasping for my next breath. And the thought was in my mind that I was a sinner. I was a sinner in God's world. And how could a sinner live in God's world? And if God, I remember the thought, if God were to not give me the next breath and take breath away from me and kill me here, he would be just because I am a sinner living in God's world. It was the most terrifying thing I had ever experienced in my life. And I thought that I could die. So the Lord had mercy. And I was able to continue to breathe, live. I got up. I don't know what happened after that. With the other students, I don't think they knew what to say. I think they were probably bewildered by what had happened. So I went home, and there was a little basement room on a college campus where I would go and study. And I would go there and read the Bible. 2 days later, I went to that place, and I began to read in 1 Corinthians, and we turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So this is 2 days later, after I had been under that conviction on that Sunday morning, and I began reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I came to verse 9, where it says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when I read that verse, I knew what had happened to me 2 days before. And I knew what was going on. God was calling me into fellowship with his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lights began to come on. And it was the most amazing thing to realize what it was that was taking place in my life. Then I kept reading here in 1 Corinthians. And then I came to chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, where Paul says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And so when I read those verses, I knew that my body did not belong to me for my own sinful ways, that I belonged to Christ. And in verse 20, you were bought with a price. And I knew what that meant. I was bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. The death of Jesus on a cross is what purchased me out of my sin. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So these verses in 1 Corinthians were the gospel coming to me in the power of the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. And after these verses, my soul was filled with joy and peace in believing. It was the most amazing thing that my eyes were now opened to believe and know the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And I spent months in some state of, seemed like, happiness over the peace that I had, that my sins, which were so evil and so troubling, they were all forgiven because of the death of Christ. So, at that point, after I read these verses, it was at that point that the radical break with my sin took place. Remember I said I went through that 10-month struggle, back and forth. Now the struggle was over. That struggle was gone now. And I had broken with my sins, and I had new life. And I was able to live a new life according to the gospel. So Jesus says in John chapter 10, "My sheep will hear my voice, and they will follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." And that's what was taking place. It was what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 20, where he says, I was found by those who did not seek me, God says. I'd have to look it up, I guess. Romans chapter 10 and verse 20. But that verse just describes what was true in my life. It says, "I was found," God says. Verse 20, Isaiah said, "I was found by those who sought me not, and I became manifest to those who did not ask for me." So at that point, I had a friend on the college campus who, he had been a Roman Catholic, and he had become a believer. We were friends, and so we started looking for a church. And we started going to different churches each Sunday, trying to find something. We didn't know what we were looking for. He has had a Roman Catholic background. I didn't know anything. And so we wandered around looking for churches. And I can remember the churches that we went to were foolishness. A lot of it was foolishness. They tried to get us into a puppet show. They want us to be in the puppet show. And we're like, well, we're not really here for puppets. You know, we don't want to be in that. And so we went to another church and we went around like that. Then we met a guy on the college campus one day. He said, he went to the Albany Baptist Church. He said, "Why don't you come to our church on Sunday?" So we said, "Okay, we'll go." So that was the Albany Baptist Church where Dean Allen was the pastor. I can remember walking into that church at Sunday school hour. And it was just like this church here, somewhat. You walk in, you have a little space in the back, and you've got the two little windows. You can look into the windows and see the people in the church. Now, I remember very distinctly when I got there, I looked in through those windows, and everybody in the church was bowed down in prayer. And that struck me as so different than anything I had seen anywhere else. And it hit me that these people are here to meet God. These people are serious. These people are here for nothing other than to meet God. And this is a holy place where I've come. And that's what hit me that first Sunday. And that's why I think that affected me greatly in my Christian life. That's why I want the brethren here to come early and pray and be ready to meet God, because that's what the church is. Right? That's what I was impressed with when the first day I went to the Albany Baptist Church. Dean Allen was preaching on the new birth from John chapter 3. And my friend and I sat through the whole series on the new birth, and we realized that this is what happened to us. What he's talking about with Nicodemus is what happened to us. We were born again. And then he preached on sanctification in the evening as well at that time. So then my friend and I, we both were baptized in the church and we became members of the church. And we were still going to the college over in Troy, New York, and the church was in Albany. So then I had a very strange and remarkable providence that happened to me. I was in college my last year, and it was, and I knew that I if I'm going to be an engineer, okay, I need to take a course in public speaking, because I'm probably going to have to do that at some point, and I need to take this course to learn how to speak publicly, because I was always afraid of getting up and speaking in public. I can remember when I was a young boy in maybe 11, 12 in a school, the English teacher would make us memorize poems or speeches, and we would have to stand in front of the class and memorize the speech, and I would stand there and I would be so nervous that my legs would be shaking and my pants would start shaking and everybody would laugh. And so the whole thing just got worse. So I was terrified. And so I said, okay, I need to take this course in public speaking. Then, at the same time, I was, you know, newly saved, and I began to have desires to be a pastor. And I began to think about that. And I was reading through, I remember at the same time I was reading through the book of Exodus. And I read about Moses and how God told Moses, he said, put your hand in your coat and pull it out, and it will become leprous. Put it back in and pull it out again, and it will be white again. And it was a sign to Moses. And so this is a very strange thing, and I don't know how to fit it into my theology, but I just explained to you the way it happened. I began to think that God's going to give me a sign to be a pastor, to be a preacher. So then one day I had to go to the speech class. And I remember leaving my bedroom, and I said, I can't go. I can't go right now. I need to go back. I need to pray before I go. So I went into my bedroom, and I prayed. Got on my knees. I need to pray before I go to this speech class. So I went to the speech class. And the teacher had an exercise for us to do that day. And she had a box with little pieces of paper in it. And she said, I'm going to pass the box around, and I want you to all pick out a little piece of paper. And on that little piece of paper is going to be your subject. And you're going to get up here, and I want you to give an extemporary speech on whatever's on that piece of paper. I want it to be forceful. I want you to be passionate. I want you to be bold. I want you to be forceful. I want you to be demonstrative. She gave all those adjectives, okay? So then the box came around. I reached in, I grabbed my little piece of paper. It said, my subject was, is there life after death? So I knew I had to preach the gospel in that classroom. And I stood up in front of the classroom, and God gave me help. And I preached to them that in 100 years, we are all going to be in our graves. Death is coming to every single one of us, but there is life to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior because of His death upon a cross. So there is my first sermon in that classroom on that day. And I think the class must have been in a state of shock when I got done with that message. And the teacher said, she said, that's exactly what I wanted to see. So it was what she wanted, and she got it in the way it was done, but maybe not. Well, she gave me the piece of paper, right? She wrote that piece of paper. I didn't write it. She did. So she got the message, and the class got the message. So then I went to this course. What did I do? I had my little piece of paper in my hand. I went to Dean Allen with it. I said, Pastor Allen, look at this piece of paper that I got in my classroom. I told him how it happened. So Dean Allen said, well, we'll just be calm and see what happens in the church. That's what his view was. You know, if the Lord is doing something with you and calling you to something, it'll be clear in the church. And so let's just do that. So we did that. So then I remember one time Dean Allen brought us down to the Trinity Cooper Men, about six of us. He brought us down there on a Friday to the Trinity Ministerial Academy down in New Jersey. So we went there. Pastor Martin was doing his pastoral theology lessons on that Friday, as he always did on Fridays. And we went to the class. I remember Greg Nichols was in the class. I remember Alan Dunn was there. And so, you know, then we went out for lunch and all that. And so from that point forward, you know, I wanted to go to the Trinity Ministerial Academy. It was about, then I graduated from college and I moved out here to Webster, started going to the church in Webster, and it was about 7-8 years later that I finally was able to go to the Trinity Ministerial Academy. And then after the Trinity Ministerial Academy, in 1995, moved back here to Rochester, began a church planting work at the Fireman's Hall up there on the Thomas Avenue up near the lake. Found a place to worship there, and then over to the Shema Israel building. And some of you remember all of that history, the Shema Israel building there on Empire Boulevard, and then over to the daycare center. And then the Lord's been pleased to bring us over here as well. So anyway, I met my wife Mary Jo when I was working at Kodak back in mid-80s. I would walk down Kodak on Lake Avenue to Kodak where I worked, and Mary Jo's apartment was over there on the right-hand side across the street, and I'd stop in there and we'd talk. And I was so excited about the Bible. I would be reading the Bible all the time. I would go in there and talk with Mary Jo about something I had read in the Bible. I remember one time I was reading the Bible at lunch, and I was reading in the book of Judges. And I got to that passage where Jael takes the tent peg and bangs it through Sisera's head and nails him to the floor in the tent. And when I read that story, I was so amazed. I called up Mary Jo. I said, "Mary Jo, can you imagine this story? That this lady nails the peg head, the tent peg, through the guy's head." I thought that was amazing. So Mary Jo put up with it. And that's how we became friends, is through those kind of conversations. And then the Lord was pleased to have us be married as husband and wife. And the Lord's been good to us all these years. So we were looking through the old family videos lately, and I was thinking, you know, Mary Jo looks like she did 30 years ago, but I'm getting older. So anyway, that's my testimony and the story of the Lord's dealings with me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy to sinners. Thank you for your powerful and effectual call that brings us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you for the truth of the gospel that saves us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who enlightens us. And thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the great shepherd of all of his sheep. Lord, we do give you thanksgiving and praise for all of your mercies and your great kindness, your salvation to us that has come to rescue us and to save us. We pray that you would hear us now and bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.